Politica culturali, Mihai Karsten Schwierer.
Inselmilkom, nil-għakom għal-programmi ħor fil-sensiela il-politika kulturali Mihai Karsten Schwierer. Minġum għal-ġumma, kif tafu dawk minnkom li tismawna Campus FM direttamente un bat anche ti somma il podcast min fu il sit nel ta' ama nis ħanajtek li ġu forsi direttament min dinja tal-kultura tal-arti ħafna ħanaj li mumiex min dik id-dinja b'mod dirett u allura l-politika kulturali niprofa nara kif forsi għandha ċertu relevanza kif għandha x'taqsam anke ma' setturi oħra ta' dak li nagħmlu. U bħajt ikun għamda kull programmi li bċi mwot daw zil prospettim u l-flimkien fej għandek elementi artistiċi, kulturali, tal-industri kreativi li pero għandhom impatt fuq qosm oħra fis-soċjetà tagħna jista' jkunu ekonomiċi, soċjali, ambjentali. U fil-programm tiegħi illum għandi miegħi lil Rebecca Anastasi. Rebecca hija producer tal-films. U għalhekk magħha ħa nitkellem dwar ix-xena tal-films, kemm lokali kif ukoll internazzjonali, għandha esperjenza vasta li tmur li lien minn 15-il sena f'settur partikolari tal-produzzjoni tal-films u fil-fatt li ħa tkun waħda minn mistoqsijiet tiegħi u waħda mit-temi li ħa naqbdu. U kienet iggradwat f'dan il-qasam kważi 20 sena ilu mill-Università ta' Malta, fil-fatt meta Rebecca qalti dan. Għandunaj ħi speċin konti għodwajt xie sentej għabel kontu kol studijajt flimkien ma l-Inglis għal-Baccellorat tal-Onuri studi tal-films, partikolarment ma Dr. Xavier Katania li naħseb kull minn studja il-film Malta f'ċertu ġenerazzjoni kellu x-xorti kbira li jaħdem miegħu. U għalhekk ħa nitkellem erbek fuq dawn l-aspetti ħanqalleq għall-Inglis biex konna ċertu faċilità. Fid-diskors tagħna. Rebecca, thank you very much for joining me for this program.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
I was talking about a particular area of film, which is, however, not the full picture. Possibly it's the lion's share. It takes up most of the even glamour and attraction and fun of it.
Yeah.
But it's not the whole picture because there's the sort of attraction of bringing big budget movies to Malta for certain productions and production work, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that as well. But then there's the other side of the moon, sort of.
Yes.
And maybe we can discuss that a little bit as well. How fair a rendition is it from what I've
heard? That's a very fair rendition in the sense that Malta's film industry is principally a servicing industry. We've seen it many times in the news. There's big budget films, even smaller and medium budget films, actually, because the sort of day-to-day bread and butter of people working in industry is mainly from the small to medium-sized projects. But foreign productions, international productions coming to Malta to film. Malta offers a very generous and a very efficient cash rebate system at 40% of eligible expenses back to foreign producers. So obviously this has been the drive for the past, I would say, decades or so or more in actual fact. But it sort of hinges on the cash rebate and Malta's very attractive to foreign producers coming to shoot, right? We also not only have the cash rebate, but we have the locations, we have the weather, we have the crew, fantastic crew, which actually really benefited us on Lutsu. But we do have
We'll come to.
What was
I going to add, Rebecca, was it, as you know, I'm carrying out some research for the University of Malta on sort of the development of the film industry from the political angle, sort of from policy, and I know this subject is very dear to you, sort of only the tactics or the strategies one adopts, like incentives you mentioned, but also the long term of it. And yeah. over the decades, in fact, next year, one could say we celebrate 100 years of international film production in Malta. So I look forward to that sort of possibly something coming up to mark that special event. And especially in the 60s and the 70s, you had people, both international producers, but also local people. So from Jim Hall, expert of special yeah. effects, to people like Paul Avellino, and then later yeah. down the line, Dino Cassar and Arsi Kalamata, who yes. sort of behind the scenes, in front of the camera, in both places, possibly at the same time. They were those type of personalities who pushed a lot forward. However, as you rightly said, sort of that's really important. But there's more. There's more to that.
There's more, exactly. So that is sort of one side of the story, of course. And sort of the flip side of that is that there are many good people trying to build a local sector, an indigenous film industry. That is us making Maltese films. So not only us working on foreign productions, but us telling our own stories using Maltese as a language, using local talent, using local cast, you know, and even in co-production with other countries, because this is actually how it works in Europe, that you, as a country, you would co-produce with other countries to create these stories, create very European mm-hmm. stories. And mm-hmm. we have a lot of great, great tales to tell, right? So we have a lot of good work ahead of us. But there is sort of a duality here. So there is the servicing side, which is what usually gets spoken about in the media and what gets the most attention. Because of course, as you mentioned, Carson, it's very exciting to have big projects shoot on the island, you know, and it's very exciting actually because I've been in a situation, you go to the cinema and you see Malta there, you know, and you see mm-hmm. your name on a big film and, you yeah. know, it's very great for crew as well, you know. Uh-huh. So it's good, it's great for the island. However, there is, of course, then the efforts being made on the ground to create a local film industry. That is still struggling. That is still mm-hmm. struggling. Mm-hmm.
One of the latest success stories, which, as you told me while we were sort of chatting, preparing this program, was not some easy success to come by. But I'd be happy to hear a bit more about it, especially knowing our listeners might want to know a little bit more of the background, the inside story of Lutsu. Yeah. For which you were also producer, sort of making a name for itself, for all the crew, for all the team, for Malta by association, and yeah. why the success at the Sundance Film Festival, which then also leads on to other things, as maybe you can tell us, why it's so important. And what went on to get there? Because you told me it was the tip of the iceberg, the awards.
It is, that's it. I worked in film servicing for 15 years in the film production department as a coordinator, and this is my first film as a fully fledged producer. So I jumped on board, I would say four and a half years ago, and it was still a germ of an idea, and Alex developed it over the years. We had support from the Malta Film Park.
Alex Camilleri, so he was the
Alex Camilleri, the director.
The one, yeah. Pushing.
We worked together with him and together with Oliver Mali and Ramin Bahrani, our other producers as well, and also other collaborators and other producers a lot of help as well in that. However, it was a struggle, right? Because the budgets are very, very small in Malta because the funding is limited. I mean, the funding is limited everywhere in the world.
Yes.
But however, for the scale and for us to be competitive in Europe, it is a struggle. The definition of a difficult film in Europe is one which reaches a budget of up to 1.5 million, and unless we co-produce,
we're talking about euros, dollars.
Euros. And unless we co-produce and get money from other countries, more than that's a budget which is way above what we can afford. So we always went into the project knowing that we had our limitations. And I think what's important is not to make the limitations the hang up. I think you have to transform them into opportunities, because at the end of the day, we can't sit around and say, oh, you know, we don't have this and we don't have that. We have to ship all our equipment in, and we don't have, actually we didn't, because we found great local suppliers. But, you know, you can always list the things we don't have. And I think the attitude going into this for everyone was, okay, but what do we have? And what can we do with it, right?
Okay, so what were, very briefly, the answers to those two questions? What did you have and what did you do with it in order to sort of then get in everything else which you did not have?
Yes, exactly. So we had the support of, as I said, the Malta Film Fund, which financed the bulk of the project. And apart from that, we had fantastic crew, who have been trained on the biggest projects and know all the sort of the professional way of doing things, all the processes, etc. So that is so key, the fact that we have crew like that, that you can, for example, you have our location manager, Mark, who would go out and find the locations, to see to the permit, to deal with everything from beginning to end. And you know your mind is at rest because that is being sorted. Right. And that you have all the paperwork to back that up, because I think this is something which filmmakers in Malta don't perhaps have much experience of.
Right.
And as us in servicing, people who have worked and come through the ranks in servicing, we are maybe more conscious of what, if you like, the foreign distributors and sales agents require in terms of paperwork.
Okay.
But there's a lot, you know? I mean, you have to have your permits, you have to have your releases, you have to have your contracts, you have to have your E&O insurance and your standard insurance. Mm-hmm. And these are sort of the business and the logistical and practical, pragmatic kind of considerations, which is important to learn as producers and filmmakers in an industry which is trying to start to make its mark and, you know, gain ground. Because at the end of the day, I could have a great film, but if I can't sell the film because my paperwork is not in place, you know?
It's not going to happen.
Rebecca,
you mentioned sort of the key word there, industry, I think, and it's not a misnomer, it's not a badly placed word at all. But let's just pause a second there, just to listen in to a few beats from Sandro Zarafa's latest jazz album. And we'll be back in a moment. Thank you. qabel dik il-pawża li reġgħet siddu dalu l-innament Sandro Zerafa u l-ġazz ensemble tiegħu. Kont nitkellem ma' Rebecca Anastasi li fil-lista kbira ta' kreddits u ta' xogħol tagħha għandha l-producer ta' Luzzu li forsi xogħol minnkom li ġa smajtu reċentement li spiċi mhux biss intwera li ġew hija biċċa kbira bi jgħid għandna Rebecca stess. Imma addirittura rebaħ l-unuri, partikolarment dawk marbutilina ta' Sundance Film Festival. Rebecca, what you're describing very briefly but very clearly is that it's already a struggle to get people together, get it funded, get the film in place and rolling. And then, however, there's still a lot to be done to actually sell it, to actually distribute it. So do you want to go on a little bit about that before finding some conclusions, some recommendations, some proposals for ways forward?
Yes, absolutely. So yes, obviously after you've shot the film, you need to take it to market, and there's the crucial fact is to get a good sales agent who's able to represent you to distributors on the international market, and that sales agent will be kind of your champion for the film, and they'll be focusing on different territories. So that sales agent will also be responsible for making sure or trying to get you into key festivals, which is obviously a festival is a showcase for the work. Mm-hmm. Right? This is where you start to get your name around and get the director's name out there and get people talking about the film, get the reviews and the trades and so on.
So without going too much into detail because we don't have the time, one can only imagine what the problems caused by COVID and the pandemic and all the social distancing rules caused by affecting festivals so much.
Yes.
Not only the production, but even the festivals element.
Yes, of course. I mean, for example, Sundance was all online. It was a virtual fest, it was a bittersweet, right?
It
was fantastic to get accepted, but knowing we can't go there and we can't be together and we can't, watch the film all together, because we would have loved to have, for example, a screening where we invited all our collaborators, all the people who could thank. You know what I mean? At an early stage.
Yes. And then all the networking and all the possibilities from being there, sort of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it has impacted it a lot. However, I think that we have, for us, it's a journey, right? This is sort of, we didn't work in a vacuum. There have been others before who have worked and, you know, have produced films and they've been released as well. So we're building on the work of the people who have come before us as well. And I really hope that Lutsu will be a film which others can look at and say, okay, we can build on that as well. And we can start continuing to create some solid foundations for the sector. Because, I mean, we have our work cut out for us to build an indigenous local sector, you know.
And it's, I guess, ironic for people in the sector, maybe also those who follow it a little bit from the outside, to have seen a number of developments with small independent films, growing interest, more people getting involved.
Yes.
And then something like the Valletta Film Festival also going on for a number of years. But then somehow either coming up short because of obstacles, say the pandemic, and even I would say sort of certain misguided, mishandled responses to the way certain things could have been done. Because it's not only a matter of throwing money at problems, but it's also a matter of nurturing, supporting, and staying close to a sector which, on the one hand, has a tradition now. One can think of it as being infant.
Yeah.
But it's still very young. It still needs that.
We're still struggling to get on our feet. And when we compare ourselves with other small countries in Europe, I mean, we're really lagging behind. Mm-hmm. And the problems are systemic. And it does have got to do a bit with funding, but it's also got to do, it's got a lot to do with funding actually, but it's also got a lot to do with our system, with our sort of audience development, with how we educate future filmmakers in terms of the practical elements, also in terms of networking with other producers and other filmmakers, I think that is a priority. What we watch as well, what future filmmakers watch, I think what we watch in cinemas needs to be diversified. Because obviously if you don't watch a film that you can make, you can never imagine that film. Never imagine. How can you imagine a Maltese film with a Maltese film industry with the limitations and the opportunities we have in Malta if your only guidepost is an American or British title? Which we will never make big budget films like that. That is not
something. It's a really interesting point, Rebecca, also because it reminds me of what a generation of visual artists say. Amongst them, people like Vince Briffa or Eiffel Vella come to mind, with whom I've collaborated in the past, who used to sort of use this argument or a similar one within the field of painting and visual arts by saying if we, and if the younger people especially, don't see good and great Maltese artworks publicly exhibited, and you sort of need to go abroad to access a good museum, and obviously you're not going to see many Maltese artworks there at all.
Yes.
How are you going to, you put it very clearly yourself, how can you sort of imagine achieving that?
I mean, I take it from myself. When I graduated from university, to be honest, I wasn't thinking about a Maltese film. I wasn't thinking about local industry. I heard that a friend's cousin of mine, she traveled the world, spent 6 months in Malta, 6 months abroad working on film sets, and I just thought that sounded like a really adventure, and that is why I wanted to really try it. But I did not have that in mind. Obviously, when you start working in industry and you start to realize what's going on, then that's sort of the desire starts to formulate. But there have been improvements over the past few years. We've had the setup of the Malta Producers Association, for instance, the MEIA as well, which represents us as well in terms of the artists.
Which is the Malta Entertainment Industry Association. And over the past months, both associations, independently led and driven, and so strengthened from different networks and sub-networks they represent, have in their own way tried to sort of really shine a light on the situation, somehow exposed more by COVID, not brought about by COVID, but those lacunae and those problems and challenges were somehow made worse by the pandemic.
Well, because the reason is because film is considered a touristic product in Malta, and it's not a tourism product in the sense that servicing may be a gateway to filling hotel rooms and hiring taxis and hiring rental cars, but at the end of the day, that surely has to be working in tandem with a sustainable way of building a local sector and investing in local businesses. And I think this is also key, investing in local creatives, local businesses, small enterprises, which can employ then even if our airports are shut, right? Because if you shut down the airport, you can't get crew from abroad. You won't have any projects. If you don't have any Maltese projects, there's nothing you can do. Having a Maltese industry is vital for the future of the sector. There's no other way for it to become sustainable, because at the end of the day, if we only rely on servicing, and servicing is important and has to be encouraged, but if we only put all our eggs in the one basket, we are so reliant on that investment that if something goes wrong, then we have nothing. So not only nothing to fall back on, but also it's not only if something goes wrong, it's about giving agency to Maltese producers, to Maltese filmmakers, to Maltese people in general, to be able to say, I can do it, I can have the power to make the decisions myself on a film. I don't have to, if you like, rely on someone else to tell me, because it's quite a colonialist mentality in a way, right? Always having to rely on sort of the foreigners who make the decision and who bring in the money, and we're subject to that, even though they do get the cash rebate.
But that's where you have, this dependency, not only on the technical issues, and as you said, if the airport is shut, what about the local scene from an economic maybe perspective or a social perspective, but it's also, and with film, it's really, really important, as with many other art forms, but possibly with film, there's that power of narrative Which is about who is telling your story, who's telling our stories.
That's it. Who is telling our story? That is the big question. At the moment, in the film industry, in the film art form, it is difficult to tell our stories. And I think that from a policy point of view, there needs to be more attention given to Maltese film specifically, and if possible, the servicing. If the servicing does well, then the Maltese film industry does well. So some way in which the two can be connected. So we have a flourishing Maltese ecosystem, and also we can invest in archives and in research and to find out that, you know, who else came before us, because even that, we don't have a repository of information for that, even though Agnazmin has been doing, for example, great work.
Yes.
Stories.
Right, with Andrew Alamango, exactly. And also the archiving, which is also visual, pictorial, small sort of home video
Part of our story, right? We need to be telling our stories, and in Europe, we've heard many people be interested in Maltese stories, and they sort of want to cast attention to the island. So I think we need some policy to encourage that.
Yes. Rebecca, as we expected, time flew, and we've come to the end of this program. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Today, and for providing those insights into an industry which maybe, as you said, we might think we know from the outside, because we see Game of Thrones and Gladiator and Fortricas or Yorimdina in the background. But there is much, much, much more, as we have tried in these few minutes to share it a bit. Ningrazzjali Rebecca Anastasi, film producer, Iknet Mier fil program tal-lum, u nistedinkom kullu miegħi għal program ta' ġimgħa t-tieħla. Saħiħ.